Time now for Chivalry Friday. Now, I try to approach the Chivalry Friday and try to get a subject that you probably haven't heard before, and or tell you a story. Last week it was Our Lady Notre Dame, Le Grand Retour. This week, I stumbled upon this from the brothers on Popsanstre Island off the coast of Scotland. It's from a newspaper called Catholic Illustrated, the Catholic Illustrated. And it's called Manners and Morals, written by Brother Felix Maria. And I try to make this as applicable to all men, because, gentlemen, it's up to us. God is looking down on us and going, like, I'm leaving you men in charge of this generation. You got to fix this. I firmly believe he's relying on men to restore the family, to restore purity and chastity in our public affairs, and to restore things like manners and morals. Every chivalrous knight has good manners and impeccable morals. Let's start off with just a statement, and you can find this on the Crusader Knights of the Most Holy Rosary page at MikeChurch.com. We have a confraternity. If you go to the page, you'll click the link at the top of the page. As soon as the page loads, a little pop-up box will say, hey, do you want to join the confraternity? It's free. It's free. Don't cost nothing. Put your name and email address in. And if you read halfway through the page and go like, oh, yeah. If you click off, go like, no. Then you read the page and go like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm in. Just refresh the page. The box should pop back up. What's one of the first things a chivalrous knight in the early part of the Crusader Knight's description? What's one of the, if not the first thing that a chivalrous knight must do? And you have to do this. It's not an option. And gentlemen, we have to practice in our lives. So let's go over this today on Chivalry Friday. Custody of our eyes, purity, and chastity. Did you know that you can be chaste and be married? Marriage. Did you know that? Some people are going like, Mr. Church, please. How can you be chaste and be married? That's impossible. Actually, it's not. And I can describe the process to you. When you don't act outside of what marriage was created by God for, what was marriage created by God for? Children. Bring children into the world. Cooperate with him, bring children into the world. Fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Note the order of those commandments, that the first one that you get after God's, you will do this for me, you won't do that. The first commandment that deals with man, dealing with other men and being in the physical world, man, is what? Children. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know, I do a talk on this. Civilization is six words. Honor thy father and thy mother. Can't have a civilization if you don't have children. That means you have to have parents. And the way God said it, you have to have marriage. So, if marriage was created for children, and it was, it was not created for pleasure. It was not created to take vacations together and go on cruises. That's not the purpose of marriage. Marriage is children. And it is for the mutual benefit and sanctity of the husband and the wife. Your wife does things that you don't do. You do things that she doesn't do. You compliment. You assist each other in trying to get to heaven and getting those children to heaven. That's your job. That's marriage in a nutshell. It's not investment accounts. It's not any of the crap that we're told that is not having big weddings. None of that. Children. If you know that that's the purpose, and that even though we are all concupiscent and all have concupiscence, and that God gave us an out, the marital act, then that's what it's reserved for. And it's not reserved for anything else. So if you know that, Well, then, without being crude, certain times of the month, you know, you ladies are chaste, husbands are chaste as well. Folks, this isn't rocket science. It's not hard to figure out. People lived like this for almost 1900 years without any questions being asked. The night, the Crusader night, the chivalrous night on Chivalry Friday is first and foremost, if he's going to be a knight, he's chaste. At all times, except when marriage calls. I don't need to explain to the men listening about temptations and all that stuff, because I'd be preaching to a choir and you'd all be going, shaking your head up and down, going, come on, Mitter Church, please. Yeah, not going to do it. But no one, this was just recently explained to me, what I just told you. So the first thing you are is chaste. And that means that, and God loves purity, that form of purity, which is why the BVM, Mary was made immaculately conceived. Why? To be conceived without original sin. And also that she would never have to give up her virginity to bring into the world the Christ child. Understand that. God loves purity. Adam and Eve were created pure from that point of view and chaste. God created man because he loved him in his own image. Now, these things may sound simple. Some may say, that's redundant and stupid. Brian K. in the chat room, real men don't use pellet grills. I'll add that to Chivalry Friday, bro. You got a friend in me. Okay, so we have to get the formation right. That's part of our formation. Now, when we go out in public, now today's story is about manners and morals. So when we go out in public, we're expected to have knight-like manners and knight-like morals. I just gave you knight-like morals. Even if you are married, single men, you've got an even seemingly more difficult role to hoe. But with Our Lady at your side and that grace, you can do it. You can do it, right, Mr. Barrett? You can do it. So our manners and our morals are informed from our home life, because that is the center, and the family is all that matters to the knight. Getting his family to heaven. He is part of it. He's got to get himself there. He's in charge of the family. Get the family to heaven. So that's number one. But in public, now we learn our manners at home. And that's why this is important. We also learn our morals at home. It's the first place we're taught morals is at home. Of course we get them in the sacraments and get them in our churches. And we get them from the clergy. And they get them from God, right? So we get them ultimately from God. But the first place you learn these things is in the home. And that's why you have to, a knight is the king, prophet, and the philosopher of his home. As G.C. Gilsaver says in that great book that you should all buy in the Founders Trading Post while you're making your crowdfunding almsgiving to the Crusade Channel today, please, mikechurch.com/shop, the three marks of manhood. So manners, we learn it. Do you remember, Mrs. O'Connell, are you old enough to remember Judith Manners, Ms. Manners? Used to be newspaper columnists. People would write and ask questions about etiquette. Who even cares about that anymore? So Brother Felix Maria writes, like so many other things, manners and morals, this basic Christian idea is losing currencies in today's ever-increasing self-absorbed me-ism world. When it becomes about me and my own comfort, pleasure, ideas, and will, the expected result is that all sorts of fundamental truths go out the window. Greater minds and holier souls have written much about the spiritual decline thanks to this new kind of unapologetic pride. By the by, not treating your fellow man with charity and not treating your fellow man with dignity, Because having manners and morals in public is a dignified thing to do is an act against charity. You're not being charitable by being poorly dressed in public. No, stop with the Crocs and or the flip-flops. Where was I at the other day? Mid-Assure goes, oh, good Lord, did I have to see this? It was a morbidly obese dude with shorts, a tank top, and flip-flops. And his toenails, yes, were supersized Frito corn chips. It was vile and disgusting. Yes, yes.
We were at walk-ons.
Yes. Don't insult me with your dress. That's a manner. It is new in as much as pride in times past could at least claim to be about greater things like wealth, learning, fame, and influence, whereas it now seems to be far more trivially inclined. It is unapologetic, for it boasts of its vices and its self-centeredness and acts as if this is a self-evident principle and a new natural law. The tabula rasa has been replaced with an image of the hedonist upon which all our ideas and concepts must be built. At least our ancestors were cognizant of the fact that pride is the capital vice from which all other vices follow, and it should be shunned. And it is pride because it seeks its own excellence, which is always at the expense of God and neighbor. On the manifestation about this new form of pride, why one of the manifestations about this new form of pride is not just that it refuses to serve others, but that it refuses to be served. While the demons howl, their known serviam, modern man whimpers, known serviar. It's not just that Christian politeness has been repudiated. It goes far deeper than that. Instead, God-given human nature has been cast off, and self-loathing has taken over. Now, here's what Brother Philip Felix is writing about here. Self-loathing, gentlemen, comes in the form of what? Now, some of you, it's going to be too late. And if you're in that group, please don't think that I sneer or any knight would sneer at you, but stop with the tattoos. Your arm is made for skin. It is not made for some wannabe artist to paint upon in a permanent manner. Do not do that. You're vilifying the beautiful flesh, the perfect flesh that God blessed you. I'm enhancing it. No, you're not. You're vilifying it. You're mutilating it. Stop. Bone rings, nose rings. Stop. No. The answer is no. This is a repudiation. You wonder what the root of all this tranny stuff, this transsexual crap comes from. It's a repudiation of nature. The you know, I think there are more women that are tatted up these days than men. It's hideous. Ladies, it's not pretty. You're born beautiful just the way you are. Where's Billy Joel at when we need him? I love you just the way you are. Did Billy Joel send Christine Brinkley uptown, girl? You know, I'd really like you if you go out and get a couple of tats. Put a tramp stamp on, Chrissy. That's what Brother Felix is writing about. It used to be that a man would take offense when not shown any marks of respect. Now it seems that respect for oneself, one's neighbor, and one's creator are capital social sins. It's a great Christian paradox that it takes humility to serve, but can also take humility to be served. To receive kindness and to be the object of someone's good intentions, though well aware of one's own sinful misery and unworthiness. These are brilliant points. The man who forgets himself knows that respect and veneration do not so much accrue to himself as a child of Adam, but as a child of God. and more so when he is a representative of God. So people ask me all the time. Young people always ask me. I'll stand up in front of the camera to show you. Why do I? Is that a pocket watch? There's so many young women out there that say, my grandfather had a pocket watch. I used to love grandpa's pocket watch. People notice the pocket watch for some reason. You know what else they notice? They notice the Mr. Church, why the bow tie? Because people ask questions about it. Do you tie that yourself? Yep, every morning. I start a clip on. You want me to take it off? I'll tie it right in front of you if you want. And I've done that a couple of times. Because people notice. Even ZZ Top made a rock song, even though I don't want to tell you what that song's really about. But every girl's crazy about a sharp dress. Man, true. Knights, when we're in public, gentlemen, we present ourselves as knights. We are not headed off to the gym to go pump iron with other men. We're headed off into public. And the knight carries himself, the chivalrous knight carries himself with a sense of dignity. And if we all did that, then the public sphere would be a more dignified place. Do you see how that works? Simple logic. I'm going to skip ahead, and I wish I had the digital edition of this because I'm sure Brother would give me permission to reprint it. And I don't think Catholic Illustrated is online. It's a great newspaper. You can only get it from making contracts. Contact the brothers at Papa Stronsay Island off the coast of Scotland. So let me fast forward to later on in today's Chivalry Friday, reading from Manners and Morals in the Catholic Illustrated by Brother Felix Maria. Welcome, and all of you who may be watching or still watching on the YouTube, or maybe you just thank you. It's very encouraging to hear that. I got Mighty Mouse ears. I hear everything.
Your wife begs to differ, sir.
I have Mighty Mouse ears. I hear everything. Christian courtesy is a daughter of mortification, since almost all acts against charity in this regard are the result of self-will and lack of mortification. There was a story told of a religious priest who, by his own reckoning, was too weak for corporal penances and still too proud to submit to humiliations and privations. Yet knowing that charity covereth a multitude of sins, at St. Paul, he wished to find at least one practical way to expiate his faults. This is what he did. He found this in putting all his energy into being very charitable, polite, and civil to all. He considered all men his betters and worthy of his veneration. His confreres, as Jesus Christ, the faithful men and women he met as St. Joseph and Our Lady. He took the oldest and heaviest vestments for Holy Mass without a murmur. If someone forgot something at the dinner table, he kept silent and went without, lest they suffer embarrassment. His steps were quiet and measured so as to not disturb even the mice. When he spoke, it was never without fear that he might wound the ears of his listeners. If he laughed, though he should rather weep for his sins, he did so quietly. He only said no in the sacred tribunal, yes, whenever his conscience permitted. All in all, he made it his study to make everybody believe that he was merely there for their convenience. It is true, he said, that this singular practice has often something very painful in it. No matter, I tell myself every day it is necessary for me to expiate my sins in some way. Chivalry Friday, point number 3. It's always about service. Charity is serving others. Always, gentlemen. Which is why when we're in public, our manners and morals, we must keep control and custody of our eyes. Imagine the horror you as a 40-year-old would feel in your heart if you were out in public with your daughter, even if she was modestly dressed as a 15-year-old teenager, to see another 45-year-old staring lustily at her across the room, undressing her, as they say, with his eyes. Imagine the horror that you would feel for your child, knowing that that man did not see a beautiful soul, a child of God. Instead, he saw breasts and butts and youth that he no longer had. Was that man being charitable towards your child? He certainly wasn't being charitable towards you, was he? So we must always remember this. And look, it is difficult in this modern world with women running around in these yoga pants that basically show you everything that they're supposed to be keeping away from you, reserved only for their husbands. Oh, I didn't want to see that, ma'am. You know how many times a day if you go out in public, you got to say a little Hail Mary to yourself? Tell God, I didn't see it. I didn't mean to. That's what the night does. Always custody of the eyes. That's an act of charity. By the way, that may also be a public almsgiving. And then Brother Felix concludes, if we wish to be polite, we should start where it matters. Christian politeness and civility applies in the first place to God and his holy religion. Now listen to this. I was blown away when I read this morning. He has established, and the holy custom, Christian politeness and civility applies in the first place to God, the holy religion he has established, and the holy customs of our faith. For example, our prayer should be said with the knowledge that we are speaking to the King of Kings and Creator of the universe. The holy sign of the cross should be made with thoughtfulness and not as an empty ritual. How many times maybe you see someone, if you're watching this on YouTube, kind of do this? I don't even know, were you making a sign of the cross, or were you swatting a gnat that was buzzing around your chin? What was it? The knight makes all of his religious intonations, symbols, and acts with great respect towards God. Remember, fear of God leads to humility. The knight is nothing if he's not humble. And you will not practice charity if you don't have humility, which is why you got to fight for it, ask for it every single day of your life. I know I do, every hour. Continuing on with Brother Felix Maria. The holy sign of the cross, which should be made with thoughtfulness and not as an empty ritual, knowing that we make over ourselves the symbol of our redemption by the Son of God. So you think about it that way, puts it in a new perspective, doesn't it? Our entrance into the church and our conduct within should reflect a reverential awe. We have entered heaven on earth, where Jesus Christ abides and where the divine Trinity is magnified and glorified. These are some of the small foundational ways in which we act with good manners towards God. These are not affectations or substitutes for our goodwill, but they certainly conform our outward to our inner disposition. If we are lacking in reverence, we will find it difficult, if not impossible, to have true politeness. Because if we cannot humble ourselves before God, there is little hope of humbling ourselves before mere creatures. That's brilliant. If you can't humble yourself before God, how in the world do you expect you're going to charitably and with great humility act in front of one of his creatures? And then Brother Felix Maria concludes. In conclusion, if we wish to be polite and to exhibit those minor morals that govern our conduct, let us imitate our Blessed Mother, who in the glories of Mary is shown to be so humble, as St. Bernard says, that, quote, when her son was preaching in a house, as it is related by St. Matthew 12, verse 46, wishing to speak to him, would not of her own accord enter, but remained outside, and did not avail herself of her maternal authority to interrupt him. In other words, she was like, no, he's teaching, he's in there, I'm not going to interrupt him. She placed herself at the feet of what she knew would ultimately be his cross. And then St. Peter tells us, in conclusion, and in fine, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, humble, not rendering evil for evil. Think about that, Twitters. Not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrawise blessing. For unto this are you called, that you may inherit a blessing. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Brother Felix Maria. So let us conclude here on Chivalry Friday and then bring Mr. Barrett in, because he does his virtue of the day on Fridays. Let us conclude that the chivalrous knight practice, and it takes practice now. When you say practice, that means work at, form the habit, manners and morals. They start in the home. You know, people, let me just give you a real world example of this, gentlemen, before I dismiss Chivalry Friday. How many times have you said to your wife, those are good kids? That kid always says, yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am, no, sir. How many times you said to your wife, they got good parents? Their parents taught them, yes, sir, authority, right? The hierarchy, which is so important. We have to have hierarchies as humans. We have to have them. It's not an option. We're not all equal. That's bull dinky. How many times have you said, or maybe even complimented the parents, going like, your kids are really well-mannered. There's that word, mannered. You cannot be a knight to go rescue or marry a fair maiden or a damsel in distress if you don't have manners. And to have manners, you have to have morals, because at the root of all manners are morals, and at the root of all morals are graces. Root of all graces is humility. True, we get the theological virtues at baptism, faith, hope, and charity, but humility, we got to ask for. You have to work at it your entire life. Ask read St. Padre Pio's books. Read his life story. Never a day went by that he did not recognize that he was not humble and that he needed humility. When we pursue humility, gentlemen, as knights, makes us chivalrous. It makes us charitable. And without charity, what does St. Paul say? Without charity, you can move a mountain, dude. If you didn't move it with charity, you did nothing. Right? That was just past Sunday's epistle. If I move a mountain, if I didn't move it with charity, I did nothing. Remember that. So, Crusader Knights and Most Holy Rosary, and again, I hope you'll go to MikeChurch.com today and sign up. Doesn't cost anything. We don't ask for money. We hardly ever even send prayer requests out. I've only sent one, as a matter of fact. Someday, though, the confraternity will get big enough, and we will. But that takes you to join. And we will continue learning chivalry, which is why we have Doc Tilsaver every Monday, which is why, supposedly, some Pollock in New Jersey is planning Chivalry Conference 2. I wish I could announce it to you, but I can't. But hopefully it actually happens. Mr. Paul, Mr. Chart, please stop badgering Paul. Paul trying to make Chivalry Conference a thing. So with that, let's conclude today's Chivalry Friday. And let's all acknowledge we need to work on our manners and our morals. And let's work on them in the home. The imitation of the Holy Family matters. And always pray for that grace. And know, if we can work and imitate the Holy Family, then we're on the way to trying to become holy. This Lent could take that. Mice ears. Mrs. O'Connell is just cursing me in the other room. This Lent, we could work on truly having the best lint ever. Morals, and let's work on them in the home. The imitation of the Holy Family matters. And always pray for that grace to know if we can work and imitate the Holy Family, then we're on the way to trying to become holy. This Lent could take that. Mice ears. Mrs. O'Connell is just cursing me in the other room. This Lent, we could work on truly having the best Lent ever.